Welcome to Juice. I'm Emily Harmon.
And I'm Gwen Douglas.
This week we're doing Brunch Bubbles.
Brunch. That weekend meal in between lunch and breakfast.
Oh. What is a brunch bubble to you? Like, why are we doing brunch bubbles?
We're doing brunch bubbles because it's fun and festive on the weekend to have a bit of fizz with your breakfast.
Particularly in Germany, there's definitely a culture of drinking at every point in the day. Like, I'm always surprised when you go to the airport in the morning and it might be like a 6 a.m. flight and someone will be there'll be more than one German at the airport drinking
absolutely
wine or whatever. But I think, yeah, there's the culture of drinking at any point in the day here, and I think definitely I really like that. It feels quite extravagant and quite exciting and fun to drink with breakfast.
And I like eggs and fizz.
Yeah, or croissant and fizz.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just poured you my wine. So this week we both bought our own wine, and the wine we would drink with brunch. So I've just poured you the wine that I bought, which is the Lambrusco Ferrando from Corticello from Emilia Romagna. So a small organic producer. They've just got 5 hectares. Unfiltered, which is why it's slightly cloudy and a little bit like... the Lambrusco we drank in the first episode.
The Paltrinieri, yes,
the Radice.
Yep.
This is, again, a rosé Lambrusco, not a red one, and it's completely dry, which I think is important to...
Let's have a sniff.
This is like a wine I think I could drink at the end of the night, but also the beginning of the day. I was very close to not bringing bubbles, and then I remembered the theme was brunch bubbles.
You've gone rogue on us and just brought like brunch whatever.
I was going to bring a really light red, and I was like, oh, I'd love to drink this in the middle of the night, in the morning, whenever it's really appropriate. And then I thought, oh, it's bubbles, it doesn't make sense. So this was the closest thing to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yum. But it's really round. Like, I can see it going really well with...
It's quite fruity, even though it's really dry. So I think the Paltrinieri that we tried before was like very light, fresh, almost like a tonic.
Exactly. Because it had that sort of like rhubarb-y zestiness.
Yeah. It was, a bit more tangy, whereas this is more fruity.
Yeah, really nice.
And I think what makes it a little bit more accessible is the fact that it's unfiltered. It's got a slightly different texture. So this is, I believe, just like Pet Nat method. So fermentation finishing off in the bottle. So it's not too bubbly.
Right.
So a bit more gentle on the stomach when you first get up.
What's your brunch pick for this?
A bacon sandwich.
Well, yeah.
A bacon sandwich and a bottle of Lambrusco.
Yeah, yum. Well, yeah. I was thinking about bacon butties too, like last week. Mm. It's been ages since I've had one.
Yeah.
I would think like also an omelette with like bitter greens and Italian sausage would be pretty
That would also be nice.
Because it's be got very that nice. Little bitter end too that's...
Yeah. It's not a fruit bomb. Mm-mm. I think with brunch wines, you want really something, nice. Particularly a brunch bubble, you want something either, I think, a bit more fun and easygoing, or you want something ridiculously extravagant.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was close to
like
doing that.
Like full champagne and a soup. Yeah. But this is great.
Yeah. Nice, light, bright, easy, not too gassy for the morning stomach. Mm. Ease you back in. I think this would be a wine as well. We could rename the episode Hangover Wines.
Yes.
This would very much be a wine that would get through your hangover, I think.
It's got a kind
back
of
back on
like,
the horse.
You know, there is a sort of like tomato juiciness about
it. It's not completely fruity. There's like a little bit of a savoury.
That's one thing, like tomato juice, it does have a... Maybe it's also the texture too. Unfiltered, there's that sort of like a bit more like a...
Viscosity. Yeah. Totally. Transition between Lambrusco onto a Bloody Mary after.
Oh, I love Bloody Marys.
So do I. Also, again, I know we've talked about Lambrusco before, but super exciting.
Oh, I love it.
There are a lot more producers making interesting stuff and better quality wines. They're not all the sweet reds. And I think this, for me, is the future of Lambrusco, the pink Lambruscos that are dry.
I think everyone that I try, I'm always...
I don't know anybody that's ever disliked this wine. And I don't know if that's just...
Because you're like, do you like it?
Terrifying them into it. I think it's a wine that's like massively accessible, and I think this could, like, if there was more of this in the world, it could take over Prosecco.
I think something should take over Prosecco.
Yeah,
because I feel like every time you go into a restaurant now, if it's something that's sort of a mid-range to lower range, like easy kind of place, and you ask for something fizzy, it's always
Prosecco.
It's always fucking Prosecco, and it's too it just gives me, I don't know why, I don't know what stuck this in my mind, but I always think of like sticky fingers and like just, I just think of all the times I've had Prosecco and gotten drunk in the afternoon. Maybe it's like, so it's just a little too much sweetness and you feel a bit ill after.
You don't want to be surrounded by bees when you're on the Prosecco.
No. So I don't know, I'm over it.
I completely agree with you. Prosecco's almost been so successful that it makes you not want to drink it. I like to drink Prosecco. Is if I go to the River Cafe and I get a glass of Prosecco to start off the meal, I feel like I'm in Italy, and then it feels very nice.
But I just think there's too much of it.
There's a lot of it, and I think a lot of the good stuff gets lost with the bad stuff. Very much like Cava, right?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of like Prosecco Col Fondo, where it's the unfiltered one.
Me too.
So good. That
so
would be
delicious.
A good brunch bubble, actually.
Definitely.
It's the only time I get very disappointed with Prosecco is in occasions where you're in a restaurant. I mean, it's an indication of the place that you're in. But you're in a restaurant or you're somewhere and you get a glass of bubbles put down in front of you, and then they tell you it's champagne.
I know.
As soon as you taste
you're
it.
Like, oh.
This happened to me recently.
I think it happened with you and I, actually.
I mean,
I feel like it happens.
I feel like it
time.
Happens all the time,
all
too.
All the time.
So on my cousin took me out on my birthday, or after my birthday, to a spa day. And actually, it's like, now I've just overcome this cold, but it was at the start of that. So I was not feeling good, and I was feeling really, like, a bit dizzy and stuff. We get there, and then a glass of fizz goes down, and I'm like, well,
all
screw
right.
it.
Yeah.
just, if it's there, I mean, I can't reject an included glass of wine. So I'm like, okay, I'll have it. And they go, oh, would you like some champagne? And it's quite a nice, it was a very nice spa. So I was like, oh, well.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I'd love one. And immediately the glass went down and I was like, the colour is looking too pale. It's got that slight lemony green tinge to it that you don't see with champagne.
No.
And I smelt it and I was like, I know I've got a cold, but this is definitely Prosecco. And I didn't have the heart to tell my cousin. She's like, oh, this is nice. And at the end of the day, like, we were with her fiance, and she said, oh, it was so nice. They gave us free champagne, and I was just literally sitting on my hands, like, don't tell her it's Prosecco. don't ruin it for her. Don't ruin it for her. But the whole time I was thinking, it wasn't champagne.
I really think, though, that that's like, it's such an annoying thing. Restaurants shouldn't be doing that. Like, because let it be what it is. There's nothing wrong with Prosecco either.
Yeah.
It's okay to just say, like, would you like to start your day with a bit of fizz? And that also leaves it open to whatever you have on hand that day or whatever you've bought for the month. Like, you don't have to say champagne if it's not champagne.
I mean, I was hoping that it was, like, a mistake of just, like, lack of education.
Like server,
right?
Maybe.
So it's just, like...
they work at a spa. They're not restaurant people, you know?
Yeah. But then I'm hoping it wasn't, like, this little surreptitious thing where they...
They make it seem like a better treat than it is.
I know, I was
like getting
tempted
a glass
to
of
try
7-Up. Like, yeah. Would you like a bit of fizz? Here's a glass of 7-Up.
But yeah, so super light.
Very fruity. Delicious. I mean, we've both smashed back those glasses.
It's quite nice, that wine. So I actually think that Lambrusco, I'd even drink it if it's still flat.
Yeah, because it's
not super bubbly.
No. And I actually think you're right that this is an all day, every day, all times of the day.
Do you know, out on your terrace... barbecue. Lucas on the fried chicken, magnum of that.
This would be good with pretty much everything.
Mm.
But I think also like spring lamb on the barbecue, like anything. Like I think it could hold up to some stuff.
Yeah, charcuterie, liver maybe even. It could work with the bitterness of liver.
Oh, I think it's a good all-rounder. This is a one for people to put aside and have ready for all occasions.
Agreed. So what did you bring, Gwen? Because I see we've both got empty glasses. That's how nice that glass of wine was.
So I brought one that actually I think you also thought about bringing because it is pretty yummy.
It was good that I just let you know. Because it was almost 100% likely.
That would have been like two bottles of...
Literally, I went to work and I was like, I'm going to pick this up. It'd be really fun. And then when you texted me, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. So it's, maybe I pronounce it wrong, but Korab.
Korab
Future Sect 2016, and I know this is a mix of Chardonnay and Riesling.
So 60% Chardonnay, 40% Riesling, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember thinking that was an odd mix, but that actually I was quite intrigued by it.
Yeah.
But she really is, I bought it here at Fraulein Brösel.
Yeah, so Stephanie Brösel, I buy quite a bit from her, she's Austrian, but she's always got some very quirky stuff from Eastern Europe.
But yeah, so she recommended this one. That she said she loves it. I brought it home a couple months ago, had some friends over for dinner, We had a lot of people over for dinner that night, so I only got a tiny glass of it, which made me sad, which made me want to buy more of it, so that's a good sign.
Oh, cool. Let's start then. So, Futures Ek by Korab. So, this one's actually coming from Czech Republic. Definitely started to be a natural wine movement over in the Czech Republic. And this is coming from the region of Morava. I might be saying that not completely right. But, yeah, Morava. And it's brut. It's got 7 grams of residual sugar, which nicely it says on the back label, as we've said in other episodes. Yeah. Always read the back label for extra information.
It is disappointing when you don't get it.
And this is traditional method, so it's a champagne method.
It has such a pretty colour, and it's really funny because in actuality it's kind of got that like light orange colour, but because the label is this sort of
pink colour,
pinky, it gives you the illusion that it's a pink wine in the bottle, which I think is quite nice. And it smells light but delicious.
It's nice because it's aromatic and floral, but it's not overblown.
No, like there's a little petrol-y smell from the...
But the Chardonnay tames the aromatics a bit. Oh, I think there's a little bit of... I wonder if there's a bit of skin contact on this. With the colour.
But it has a very light scent, but kind of an intriguing one.
This wine, so the base wine, we've already said Chardonnay and Riesling, but the base wine has been in amphora.
Okay.
And then obviously goes into bottle, second fermentation, and then they add the 7 grams dosage. I think this is quite nice, that little bit of extra sweetness in this wine that the wine before doesn't have is very brunchy.
And I really like, usually that's what I go for, something that has a tiny bit of residual sugar for brunch.
Yeah.
I don't know why it seems to work well with like eggs and stuff.
I'm thinking like Spanish eggs for this one.
Yeah. An Asian deviled egg that might be good with this. It's kewpie mayo and sriracha. And
that'd
then,
be
like,
nice.
Those little like, bit of caramelized spice. Onions and stuff on it. I think would be pretty yummy with that.
I think definitely when I'm looking at brunch bubbles, there's sort of one or two ways to go. And I feel like we've kind of gone in a little bit of a similar direction for once.
This has kind of a like mimosa-y kind of thing. Because it does have like a Bucks Fizz like orange.
Totally, yeah.
And a little honey. Yep. And this sort of like, yeah, which is very brunchy.
Yeah.
There is a cocktail element to it.
Mm. Yeah, Petnat, some Zecs like this that are a bit more fun, because it's nice, you still get that little bit of that sort of nuttiness with this wine, but it's much more fruity than you would expect from other Zecs, and a bit more rustic in style.
Which I think both of these have, and they both have that sort of slightly bitter finish that gives it that like...
Yeah, it's not just fruit.
Right.
Which is nice, so it actually makes you want to go back and drink more of it.
Right. Which is what you needed first thing in the morning. But maybe you do if it's a hangover.
Hit the ground running.
I have to say though, when I was thinking brunch bubbles, I do always imagine there's an element of hangoverness.
Yeah, it is usually, because it's usually a Sunday, isn't it?
Let's be honest. Totally.
And you might have been out the night before.
Right. Probably you're not having like an no one's having brunch. I mean, I hope no one's having brunch before noon. If you are, that's fucking breakfast.
You're right. There's also that assumption that you've slept in because you've had a late night, and that's why you're eating brunch.
Exactly. Otherwise, you'd just be having breakfast.
It's true. I think the other thing is, like, I mean, we didn't bring it this time because I feel like I don't always want to bring champagne, even though I'd love to drink champagne every time.
I know, champagne is great.
Yeah.
Also, I would say, because we've kind of gone this cocktail-y route, and I have to talk about Gewürztraminer at least once per episode, is I think some of those, like, natural Gewürztraminers that have a cocktail-y kind of element to them would also be great at brunch.
I mean, when you show me a good brunch Gewürztraminer, we can revisit that again, but I think we should put a pin in it.
I actually think that some of those, like, kind of skin contacty ones, if you're more of a muesli and berry with yogurt kind of thing.
It's a shame there isn't like a marketing brand of wines of Gewürztraminer, because you could just be the poster woman for it.
If anyone wants a brand rep, let me know.
And you'd just be in pink, I think.
I mean, am I not?
Most of the time, I know. I have a wall of Gewürztraminer down at Tycho Gallery.
I mean, we've got a pink wall at the gallery.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it would
totally
work.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably it.
Yeah, it's just
this
a short episode of two things that we're going to be drinking with our brunch. Well, we're trying it tonight, but we're definitely going to be having it tomorrow, Saturday, for brunch.
And we'd love to hear what you love to drink for brunch. I mean, even if it's your favourite cocktail or your favourite wine, your favourite fizz, and show us your brunch. Show us your brekkies. I'd love to see your setups.
Yeah, show us your brunch and what you're drinking with your brunch.
And you can find us You can contact us through Instagram at juice.podcast.
On Twitter at juice_podcast.
Or you can find our website at juice.show and pick up a tote bag to carry all those brunch bubbles home.
And if anybody's in London this weekend,
yep.
I'll be doing a pop-up on Sunday after Raw, and there will be some tote bags also available there. That'll be at the Henrietta Hotel, so you can just check out the Vina Lupa Instagram for details of where to find me with lots of magnums and lots of tote bags.
Super! Looking forward to seeing you all next week. I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
Cheers!
Cheers!